Everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with LaVon. Happy Friday. It's November 6, 2015. I'm live from the Anti-Media headquarters. Glad to be with you. There's so much news to cover this evening. We're going to be reading lots of quality articles from theantimedia.org. So you guys feel free to go there so you can follow along if you'd like. We're going to be accepting calls as well. So the number is 1-718-717-8296. Feel free to call in and join the conversation. I'm solo tonight, but that's all right. It's been a long week. And thank you guys for being here with us on UCY Radio. We're so happy to be here. We're here Monday through Friday, if you didn't know. So make sure you check out the other programs as well. So on Fridays, besides covering the news, we try and balance all the typically, what's the word, depressive, suppressive, horrible things that are going on in the world with practical things you can do as an individual, not only to better yourself, but your community, because that's the ultimate power is you make yourself more awesome, and that just is going to have a ripple effect on everybody else. I like to say that you can bring sunshine like wherever you go. So you can be like a converter of negative to positive in a sorts. So let's see here. I like to backtrack a little and tell you guys what happened in the last week. And there's a lot of follow-ups to things that we've reported in the past. Give you an example. We have more information on the bombing of Doctors Without Borders Hospital. And we've got an update on the TPP that's pretty alarming. So that's going to be exciting. Some exciting news for cannabis in Mexico. Some really scary stuff regarding tapeworms and how they affect most people, like 75 million. That's just a staggering number. How many don't know that they have them? So you guys can find out about that. There's a really interesting story about scientists discovering how mushrooms can make it rain. So let's get into this here. Thing that I want to talk about first is an article by Miss Claire. She reported on the 5th, which was yesterday, about It's we kind of had an emotional day in the office yesterday just because of how tragic this story is. And I encourage you guys to read the entire report that there is linked with inside the article. So many of the staff describe people being shot, most likely from the plane, as people tried to flee the main hospital building that was being hit with each airstrike. Some accounts mention shooting that appear to follow the movement of people on the run. So this is from a person from Doctors Without Borders, and they released an initial conclusion of investigation, which is what I want you guys to check out. It's pretty alarming, and it really dives into the situation that is not being fully reported to us. So what appears to be a direct targeting of their hospital on October 3rd, and the word appears is used lightly. It's just, we've mentioned before, this hospital's coordinates were well known, and especially with the technology of GPS, it's pretty outrageous that it was attacked. And what's really important to note is something Claire touches on too, is that the people who work in the hospital reported that it was especially quiet and quite comfortable during the time they were attacked. And it was the first time in a long time that they felt safe, you know, amongst this, in the middle of this war, essentially. And despite that, they were attacked. And the United States is insistent that it was not targeted. And what's interesting is that, you know, they changed their story a bunch of times. And a U.S. tank even ran over and destroyed viable evidence after the bombing. Eyewitness accounts aggregated for the MSF report offer keen insight to why officials had such a difficult time keeping their story straight. The U.S. needed to figure out which cover story people would buy. So, the reporter from the hospital, whose name I would not like to butcher, she makes it clear that patients and staff had like a strict rule that no weapons, and reporting of exact GPS coordinates for the facility to sides involving the conflict were firmly in place and had been verified in the days and hours leading up to the bombing, like I just said a moment ago. And she goes on to say in detail that a series of multiple precise and sustained airstrikes targeted the main hospital building, leaving the rest of the building in the MSF compound comparatively untouched. This specific building of the hospital correlates exactly with the GPS coordinates provided to the parties of the conflict, which is really interesting, guys. So according to that report, U.S. airstrikes began between 2:08 a.m., so in a short amount of time, and continued to pummel the building for an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. So at least 30 patients and staff were killed, and some of them may never be identified. And what's really tragic is that there were a lot of women and children during this time, something that Ms. Claire noted, and something needs to be done. And I have great faith in these people that they're going to be relentless in punishing the United States for breaking the rules of war. Like, it's well known that you don't attack neutral parties in war. And it's really tragic, and it's plain disgusting. Like, go watchdog of the world, you know, killing innocent women and children despite knowing their exact position pisses me off. And frankly, like, it's important that we share this with people because they have a really tainted idea of what people in our military do. You know, they really think that we live in fear of other countries invading us and, you know, killing our women and children or raping them or converting them to their religion. And we've got it all wrong. I mean, the world's not the most peaceful place, of course. It's not all rainbows and butterflies, but we can't continue to perpetuate this type of behavior and not expect it back. And that's, I think, a point we make often is, like, what kind of world are we creating with this type of behavior? More importantly, that's our money. That's our money being spent to kill innocent people. So think what you will about that, and check out the full report because it goes into great detail. It's really mind-blowing. Let's see here. On to our next major topic, something we've been discussing for a couple years, as it's been very carefully and methodically hidden from most of us. And finally, the full text of the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, is revealed to us. This was published yesterday as well. It's, how do you pronounce this name? Deidre? Yeah. Sorry, friend. This new contributor here, they reported that worse than anything we could have imagined, an act of climate denial, giveaway to big agribusiness, a death warrant for the open internet, worst nightmare, a disaster. So President Obama has sold the American people a false bill of goods, says Friends of the Earth. As expert analysis of the long-shrouded, newly publicized Trans-Pacific Partnership, final text continued to roll out on Thursday, consensus formed around one fundamental assessment of the 12-nation pact, it's worse than we thought. Oh my goodness, that's not what we want to hear, right? So from leaks, we knew quite a bit about the agreement, which we knew was mostly, we feared was mostly speculation, because we know how words travel, right? But in chapter after chapter, the final text is worse than we expected, with the demands of the 500 official U.S. trade advisors representing corporate interests satisfied to the detriment of the public interest, said Lori Wallace, director of Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. In fact, Public Citizen charged the TPP rolls back past public interest reforms to the U.S. trade model while expanding problematic provisions demanded by the hundreds of official U.S. corporate trade advisors who had a hand in the negotiations while the citizens were left in the dark, which is really horrible on its own. On issues ranging from climate change to food safety, from open internet to access the from access to medicines, the TPP is a disaster, declared Nick Dearden of Global Justice Now. Now that we've seen the full text, it turns out the job-killing TPP is worse than anything we could have imagined, added Charles Chamberlain, who is the executive director of Democracy for America. This agreement would push down wages, flood our nation with unsafe imported food, raise the price of life-saving medicine, all the while trading with countries where, this is interesting, where gays and single mothers can be stoned to death. So that's alarming, right? And he goes on to say, and we'll touch on these topics here, but I want to get through this. Major climate action groups, including 350.org and the Sierra Club, were quick to point out that the text was notable as much for what it didn't say as for what it did. The TPP is an act of climate denial, said the director Jason Kowalski on Thursday. While the text is full of handouts for the fossil fuel industry, which we're going to touch on, it doesn't mention the world's climate change once. What it does, however, do is give fossil fuel companies the extraordinary ability to sue local governments that try and keep fossil fuels in the ground. If province puts a moratorium on fracking, corporations can sue. If a community tries to stop a coal mine, corporations can overrule them. In short, these rules undermine countries' ability to do what scientists say is the single most important thing we can do to combat the climate crisis: keep fossil fuels in the ground. Furthermore, Friends of the Earth said in its response to the final text, the agreement is designed to protect free trade. Oh, we're getting a call here. Hey there, you're on the program. What's your name? Hello?
John.
Hey, how's it going?
This is John.
Hi, John. Thanks
how's
for calling.
How's it going?
It's going really well. I love reading the news. Can't you tell?
Is this a radio station? What is this?
You just called the laundry shop. I'm open late. I'm dry cleaning all night. Like, what do you want to order? I'm just kidding. You're live on the radio. You didn't know you called the radio?
I have no idea what you just said.
All right. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. So, back to what really matters. The TPP is really, it's really designed to protect free trade in dirty energy products such as tar sands oil, coal from the Powder River Basin, and liquefied natural gas shipped out of West Coast ports. The result, FOA warned, will be more climate change from carbon emissions across the Pacific. President Obama has sold the American people a false bill of goods. The Trans-Pacific Partnership fails President Obama's pledge to make the TPP an environmentally sound trade agreement. International observers were no less critical. So the environment confirmed some of the worst nightmares. So Basically, there's going to be limited coverage of biodiversity, which is really important. We've talked about that a lot. Conservation, marine capture fisheries, and trade and environmental services. And that's just one sector. They're going to go on to attack sensible food safety rules. Let's see here. We're getting another call. Hi there. You're on with LaVon. How's it going?
Hi, this is Michael.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. We're talking about the TPP. Do you know anything about it?
Yes.
Tell me. What do you know? And how do you feel about the release of the full text?
I want to know more.
Well, what do you know is what I'm asking.
Almost nothing.
Okay. Go ahead and hold on the line. You can read along with the article if you'd like, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Hey there, this is LaVon. You're on the show as well. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. What's your name?
I'm Ronnie. What's yours? Again?
I'm LaVon. We're reading about the TPP. What do you know about it?
What are we reading about?
The Trans-Pacific Partnership.
I have no idea about that. I've never heard of that.
What inspired you to call in?
All empires crumble, all police states fail, the future's ours.
What's that?
All empires crumble.
Oh, you like the meme. Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks
they
for...
will crumble.
I'm sorry?
I didn't say they anything. Crumble. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I don't think they like us talking.
Hold on 1 second here.
Did you hear the interference there?
Hold on a second. You guys are being suspicious. All right. So over trolls. So back to the news. Don't call me unless you have like something that you actually want to talk about. I'm not down for that. You guys are not mature in hearing what matters, man. Like your rights are being stolen. So what really matters most besides supporting the natural function of our planet, not stealing like literally its blood. Think about it. Like oil is the planet's blood, as if you were to compare it to yourself. And what's more important than that is how you take care of yourself in regards to food. And this act really attacks our right to decide where our food is produced. And furthermore, like it allows people to increase the transportation rates of food, which is very problematic, not only for the consumer nutritionally. You want your food to be locally sourced. You want it to be fresher. It's better for you, and it's better for the environment because we use less fossil fuels to ship that food. And it just makes more sense. I like to compare America to backwards land because it seems like everything we do is backwards. We're not accepting any more calls from certain numbers, okay? Just that's what gets to happen. So sorry, you can call back another time, like when we're having like a random hour or something. But this is really important. I really encourage you guys to read about the TPP, especially because it threatens what we're doing right now, which is very important. No other time in our history of humanity have we been so free to learn and to have technology at the tip of our fingers and to decide, you know, what we want to perpetuate and share with people. It's so simple to investigate a topic like the TPP and quickly get a message out across the world. And that right's being threatened by this agreement because there's a lot of sections that want to impact the openness of the internet. And what would that do to people like us who are dedicated to sharing information that's not censored? I can deal with a couple troll callers, that's fine, but imagine if I couldn't talk to you at all, or if you guys didn't have the ability to share an article, or you know, that at any time that our internet can literally be shut down across the nations. Who knows what kind of power they'll have? And there's going to be a lot of control and attention in regards to copyright and the enforcement of copyright topics. And that's really interesting to note too, because if you think about it, the internet has allowed us to share things, not only ideas, but files, and that takes away profits from big corporations. And that having control of those types of things is really important to their influence over the public in general. So it's important that we really watch the TPP and make sure that people understand what's going on. What's that? All right, sorry guys. I just apparently had another random caller on the line who was still there making noise. So without further ado, let's get on to our worst topic. Make sure you check out the full article about the TPP. Anytime we try to talk about it on the show, it's like I get the most callers ever who don't want to talk about it. So it must be really important. Something else that's really exciting in regards to personal rights and liberty is Hawaii is hoping to declare sovereignty from the U.S. government. And this article was published today by Ms. Carrie Wedler or Wedler? Wedler, I'm sorry, I'm the worst with names. So this week, Native Hawaiians initiated an historical election that may grant them sovereignty from the United States and the state of Hawaii itself after well over a century of colonial rule. More than 95,000 indigenous people will elect delegates to a constitutional convention scheduled for this winter, when they will work to create a government that serves and represents Native Hawaiians, the only group of indigenous people in the United States currently restricted from forming their own government. In the 19th century, European and American missionaries and traders began settling in Hawaii. They quickly formed a political movement and succeeded in transferring power from the king to his cabinet and legislature. Though they drafted a new constitution limiting the king's control, they also limited the voting rights of Asians and Native Hawaiians while granting the right to wealthy non-citizens. When the king died and his sister Queen Liliuokalani assumed the throne, she attempted to restore power to the monarchy and return voting rights to those who had been excluded by the white settlers. This sounds familiar. White businessmen disapproved of her intentions and formed the Committee of Safety, which sought to overthrow the queen and have Hawaii annexed to the U.S. on January 16, 1893, backed by a militia and 162 U.S. Marines, the committee achieved its goal. The queen surrendered, and in 1898, Hawaii was annexed by the United States. The federal government apologized for its colonialization of the island and its natives in 1993, but that failed to improve the conditions for many indigenous people. I'm sorry to laugh, but it's just such a long time to go by. According to the government report, Native Hawaiians suffer higher rates of poverty and unemployment than the rest of the population and are underrepresented in business ownership and education. Further, Native Hawaiians are the racial group with the highest proportion of risk factors leading to illness, disability, and premature death, a problem compounded by a lack of access to health care. It's interesting to note. These stark conditions, as well as the state's imperial history, have led many Native Hawaiians to seek sovereignty from the United States government. In 2011, Hawaii passed a law to recognize Native Hawaiians as the first people of Hawaii. That bill also established the Native Hawaiian Roll Commission to assemble a list of qualified and interested Native Hawaiian voters a move that gave infrastructure to the current push for self-determination. So, for the first time in over 100 years, there will be a definitive voice on Native Hawaiian issues. I'm really excited to see what the result of this is. This article is really in-depth. I encourage you guys to read the whole thing. But what's important to note about this is that people everywhere kind of sharing this collective idea of, we've called it before, not anarchism. What's the word that Derek uses in this book? Come on, brain. Agorism or agorism. And it's the notion of a populace of people, not with one ruler or a king or one group of elite that rules them, but the notion of sovereignty, like these native Hawaiians want. And that's the idea of do no harm, but take no shit, and collectively have a gathering where people kind of rule themselves. And a lot of people think it's not possible. And it may not be for a really long time, but I think that something like that may potentially be easy to implement if we have more sovereign nations already in place. So go Hawaii. I'm excited for you guys. We'll probably keep you guys up to date with that. More awesome news in regards to seeking freedom. Mexico Supreme Court rules prohibition of cannabis unconstitutional. We write lots of articles regarding cannabis, especially as medicine. And all around the world, people use this medicine, this plant, and they have for a really long time. So recently here, we published this on the 4th. Claire wrote this article. Claire Burnish. Is that correct? Woo! I said it right. One out of five. Yay! So the Mexican Supreme Court just paved the way for nationwide cannabis legalization after voting 4-1 that prohibition of personal consumption and cultivation of the plant violates constitutional rights. In fact, the highest court in the land concluded that cannabis prohibition violates the right to free development of one's personality. It's like music to my ears. So the Drug Policy Awareness stated out on Wednesday in a press release, which is linked in the article if you guys want to read it. And Claire goes on to say that this vote by Mexico's Supreme Court is extraordinary for two reasons. It is being argued on human rights grounds, and it is taking place in one of the countries that has suffered the most from the war on drugs. Ain't that the truth? This was said by Hannah Heltzer, who is the Senior Policy Manager of the Americans for the Alliance. So, water. Uruguay. Is that how you say that? Uruguay. Ooh, Uruguay. Go use. Became the first country to legalize marijuana. Canada is expected soon to follow suit, and medical marijuana initiatives are spreading throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. And marijuana is legal in a number of U.S. states. Now with this landmark decision out of Mexico, it is clear that the Americans are leading the world in marijuana reform, which I never thought I would read that. But it's amazing. Mexico's first legal medical marijuana patient made headlines around the world in September when her parents were granted the right to treat her with medication that's derived from cannabis. This girl's 8 years old, and she had nearly 400 seizures a day that prevented her from walking, attending school, or even speaking. This ruling by the highest Mexican court further weakens the brutal and notorious drug cartels that have plagued the country with violence, paves the way for legal recreational use, and hopefully sets the example for its northern neighbor, the United States. How exciting. I think it's important to note that cannabis is very powerful medicine, and we've reported so many times. If you guys just go to theantimedia.org and just search like cannabis, you'll find tons of articles where we've highlighted the ways in which it has literally changed people's lives and granted them just normality and comfort. And that's happening everywhere, and it's really, really exciting to see not only people getting access to, what did they say? What are the exact words? They're so great. The right to free development of one's personality. I couldn't agree more. And it's really staggering, not only the countless people who have died as a result of trying to use this medicine, but the drug war and the war on drugs especially affects people in Mexico. You know, we've seen the violence there. And what's even more interesting is that in the states here, in the United States that have made it recreational or medical, note a decline in crime and less people dying from pharmaceuticals, which I think is really important. And something dear to my heart is a lot of people lose their job for using cannabis in lieu of pharmaceuticals, which are primarily opiate-based and highly addictive and mostly lead to heroin addiction. And you can research that. It's very known. That's legal, but using a non-addictive plant with, you know, virtually no side effects is illegal. So we've got to anti-backwards our land. And this is one step closer. And in relation to that, let's see here. There's another report on cannabis. So Mexico's got that groundbreaking notion into lessening the crimes associated with marijuana. And here in America, as reported by Carrie on the 4th, just last couple days ago, the guy in charge of the DEA just called medical marijuana a joke. So here's an interesting perspective. She reported that appointed DEA chief Chuck Rosenberg, who won the support from marijuana advocates just recently in August, when he admitted, unlike his predecessor, that marijuana is not as harmful as heroin. Okay. He said this week, however, that, excuse me, he literally said marijuana is a joke and that the plant is bad and dangerous and has no medical benefits. And in detail, what really bothers me is the notion that marijuana is also medicinal, because it's not. He told reports in a briefing on Wednesday, "We can have an intellectually honest debate about whether we should legalize something that is bad and dangerous, but don't call it medicine. That is a joke." Okay. So he admitted that extracts like CBD oil have a promise, and he maintained that if you talk about smoking the leaf marijuana, which is what people are talking about when they talk about medical marijuana, it has never been shown to be safe or effective as a medicine. Aside from his presumption of what millions of people mean when they refer to medical marijuana, his stance is deceptive for a variety of reasons. And most obvious, smoking medical marijuana does have record of medical benefits and has been shown to work safely and effectively as medicine. Scientific research shows that inhaling, like smoking marijuana, specifically helps treat symptoms of debilitating diseases like Crohn's disease, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, and HIV, among many others. In all of its forms, not just inhaled, it's increasingly found to have positive medical effects. This helps explain why countless health organizations around the world have endorsed legalizing marijuana in some capacity. 82% of oncologists, those are people who study cancer, said in a survey that marijuana should be offered as a treatment option. The FDA itself has approved two cannabinoids, I love that word, for the treatment of nausea and vomiting caused by chemotherapy. Though the agency has not approved the general use of cannabis, research suggests that marijuana can be effective at decreasing these symptoms. But cancer.gov claims at this time there's not enough evidence to recommend that patients inhale or ingest cannabis as a treatment for cancer-related symptoms or side effects of cancer therapy. This mythical lack of evidence constitutes to his argument about Rosenberg's argument against medical marijuana and extends far beyond cancer treatment. His assertions that marijuana has never been shown to be safe or effective as a medicine is particularly manipulative for one gaping reason. The DEA has spent decades undermining research into the medical effects of cannabis. Currently, only 6% of marijuana research focuses on the plant's health benefits, and the DEA is largely to blame. A report released last year from the Drug Policy and Alliance indicated the enforcement agency for its staunch opposition to investigate the plant's medicinal properties. The analysis detailed the methods the DEA has used over the years to crush potential research. So it's the same story over and over. This is what sucks about being an American, is we do have access to so much information, and it's okay for you. And that's awesome, right? But these people can lobby against it and undermine notable evidence and refute scientific evidence that is technically solid and sound just to support their notions and to benefit them. So I encourage you guys to read the whole article. There's lots of great links in it. And we'll keep you guys posted, of course. And on to our next story here. This is really interesting. So Claire reported today on this on a story that recently broke. Okay, it's the scariest thing ever. Because 75 million people who are reported to be infected with tapeworms have a really horrible thing to be worried about, because in Atlanta, Georgia, scientists at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently made a distressing discovery. The first ever known case of transmission of cancer from a parasite to a human. Yes, really, this happened. So after puzzling through the cause of a Colombian man's cryptic cancer-like disease for nearly 2 years, a man with a name that I'm definitely going to butcher, we'll call him Addis, a pathologist who studies mystery illness, determined along with other CDC scientists that his malady had actually originated with a tapeworm. So we knew invertebrates can grow tumors, but the fact that one can invade and disseminate in a human and make them sick just really, really defied belief. In January 2013, the then 41-year-old man sought treatment at a hospital for fever, unexplained weight loss, tapeworm infection, and difficulty breathing. Doctors discovered the man's lungs contained multiple tumors, but their unusual composition—they were composed of sheets. Do I dare answer this call? Oh, I really want to answer your call. I apologize, but my mouse is freezing here. So, here we go. Hello? Hey there.
Yes, I hope I reached the right number. I noticed the post for the anti-media to be discussed on the radio show. Did I reach the right number?
Yeah, it's LaVon. How's it going? Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a plug for...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm with United Against Police Terror, and I'm helping mobilize Black Lives Matter in San Diego. Recently, there have been seven people murdered within a month by different law enforcement officers, and I wanted to put a shout-out for Justice for the families of Rashawn Cole, Lamontez Jones, Anthony Ashford.
Hold on. Oh, why are we hearing a repeat there? Hello?
Yes, I was hearing a lot of
Oh, I'm sorry. We got a feedback there for a second. Please continue.
Okay. So as part of United Against Police Terror, we actively document we record all lives that have been stolen, part of our Stolen Lives campaign for everybody killed by every branch of law enforcement. And what I do want to plug is part of an action for Black Lives Matter San Diego. They are hosting on Black Friday, Black Lives Matter, Not Black Friday. And it's a call to action to not only boycott Black Friday, but to also join in solidarity. You know, the location of the event is to be announced soon, but this is to demand justice for Anthony Ashford, Lamont Tez Jones, Demetrius DuBose, Marshawn Washington, and Rashawn Cole, and many others that have been killed by law enforcement here in San Diego.
And I appreciate you calling in. Can you tell people why it's important, the work that you do specifically in San Diego? Like, I know there's some staggering statistics, right?
Yep. Right now, I think we're reaching about 350 recorded lives stolen from 1980 to the present. And I'd be more than happy to. The website where you can find that on is uapptsd.org.
Mm-hmm.
Ferguson, Baltimore, New York, they've set the precedence that they will not let people that have lost their lives in that city, in that state, go unnoticed. And we need to set the precedent for every life that has been stolen in San Diego. We need an uprising for them as well. There have been 3 black men that have been killed within a month. And it's outrageous. There's more. There's definitely more to the story with every story. I think this is the second time in a row San Diego police have not turned on their body-worn cameras. And
oh, what? Didn't know that.
Yeah, this has been defended by Chief Shelley Zimmerman in the instance of Lamontez Jones, even though they were told on the scanner that this person could potentially be armed, which turns out Lamontez wasn't. They could have had like 1 second to tap their chest and turn on a body-worn camera, and it was very apologetic stance that Chief Zimmerman had. They will not honor our wishes. Community allies such as Women Occupy San Diego, United Against Police Terror, Black Student Justice Coalition have called for a proposal 3 times to City Council, and they've said no. It's absolutely ridiculous. And now I'm hearing from the ACLU that racial profiling data on vehicle and their request for pedestrian stop data has been pushed back by Marty Emerald.
That's really interesting.
For June 2016. Now, there's also a press conference coming up on November 12th, and I'll be more than happy to forward you the information if you can.
Yeah, please do. I'm curious, what motivated you to do this work besides those staggering statistics? Like, personally, why do you perpetuate this? You know, what moves you?
Sure. I was sexually assaulted by an LA police officer in the West End Division in 2006.
I'm sorry to
really
hear that.
Opened my cool.
That's horrible.
It could have been a lot worse. It definitely opened my eyes to what law enforcement are capable of, and the blue culture of silence and the brotherhood that they must protect their own above any kind of justice. And that's where United Against Police Terror, we feel that there are no good cops. As long as there's this amount of corruption within the system, the supposed good cops are just basically apathetic. And remain silent. And that's why we push for the transparency and for, you know, Shelley Zimmerman. If they're not turning on their body worn cameras, they need to be off the force.
I have an idea. Something that I proposed to our audience, I think a couple years ago, is more citizens need to go on ride-alongs. We need to police the police. I've been on several ride-alongs in the last few years just because I was curious to know, what actually goes on. And I like to consider the perspective of every individual, before I don't like to pass judgment. I like to try and understand And these people literally see the darkest part of our society every day, all day. And, you know, on their days off, these officers don't want to leave their house because they don't know who they're going to encounter. And, you know, it's important to understand what they encounter. But what I realized besides that is, like you said, they go looking for a specific thing. And I think that's really counterproductive in general. You shouldn't be looking, you know, you go out, you shouldn't be looking for a fight, or you shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't create that type of environment. And I think that if they were trained instead with the notion of who can I help, not who can I arrest and incarcerate and create lots of money for, you know, essentially corporations, because prison's a business of profit as well. But
sure.
But when you get into it, it's, there's, like you said, there's so much corruption. And what do you do? Well, why not police the police? What do you think about
that? Right, and we do encourage everybody to break out their cameras and.
Besides that, though, go on ride-alongs. It's your right. As long as you don't have a felony, you could go, and you're allowed to get out of the car. You're allowed to do everything they do. You know, unless it gets really violent, but even though you're there.
I think that it's definitely an idea. If certain people feel comfortable as far as, you know, what they do as far as trusting police. I know that it's perfectly legal to listen in on the police scanner. Reporters do it. Journalists do it.
There's a lot of apps.
You definitely can listen in on the scanner and be prepared even before you walk out that door, and actually listen to the interaction as far as what are the antecedents, what are the behaviors or actions leading up to the interaction. But it does raise the concern, like we have to go so far as to, you know, feel like we have to you know, ride along with police just to make sure that, you know, I know that, I can't remember the guy's name, but he wrote a really awesome piece. And he did talk about the issue regarding, being part of the equation for police to risk their lives. But what is not part of the equation is for them to kill unarmed community members.
I agree.
Regardless of their status. They're not judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah, totally.
Their job is to have that person, I guess, quote unquote, face their day in court. I know that the case with Lamontez Jones, there's more witness testimony that I've forwarded to the ACLU that definitely debunks the fact that was he in fact a threat, and could he have lived to face this day in court? And I firmly believe that he should have, he could have, that was his human right. So right now we're just exposing whatever we can, and just to make the police accountable, make them accountable. We spent $4 million on that body worn camera policy.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of money. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I don't even think that every police officer in San Diego has a body-worn camera yet. But the video is not available to us. If, you know, police say that it's quote-unquote under investigation.
So let me ask you this. Right, can you hear me? Hello? Oh, we lost you. I hope you call us back. We're having a nice conversation there. Let's see here. So we were reading about this really amazing and alarming new discovery of a parasite basically contracting or creating cancer within itself and transferring it to a man. So he was being misdiagnosed a lot. And what happened was they discovered doctors in his lungs, multiple tumors, but they had sheets and clumps of cells that were much smaller than human cells. and it looked like cancer, but the tumors were composed of cells that were not human. The initial months, we wondered if this was a weird human cancer or some unusual, bizarre, emerging amoeba-like infection. Discovering these cells had tapeworm DNA was a surprise, a big surprise. So this surprising discovery, as published in the New England Journal of Medicine, has potentially devastating implications. This same tapeworm, which originally doesn't cause issues, is currently living in the bellies of 75 million people worldwide, typically in areas with poor sanitation. Peter Olson, a biologist with London Museum of Natural History who studied the case, said that of the 9,000 tapeworm species, this is the only one known to live and reproduce entirely within the human gut, creating new generations in the host's stool. We think that was one of the things that allowed this to happen. He stated, you can get a large buildup of parasites. Well, hopefully this is our friend calling back. Hey there, this is LaVon.
Hi, LaVon.
I lost you.
I'm so sorry we got disconnected. That was totally my fault.
No worries. It happens.
Ran out of juice.
I have the worst luck with technology, ironically. It's the way of the universe, man. So,
yeah.
You were on a good one. I was just going to ask you, but continue your thought, and then hopefully it'll remind me of my question.
Okay. I was talking about the amount of money that was put into body-worn cameras and what lack of transparency we had all the way up to not releasing the footage, not having the footage available to the public. If we do a public records request, what is the turnout? Why didn't the officers, somebody died and the officers didn't turn their body cameras on. That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge. And in the case of Fridun Rosh Nahad, he was an individual murdered, I believe, late April, early May. The officer didn't turn on his body-worn camera. Witnesses who saw surveillance footage from a private establishment vouched that they really don't think there was any need to shoot for Doom. Interesting enough, Shelley Zimmerman has not released the private video. It wasn't released to the public. Four different media outlets sued for the video to be released. She still hasn't released it. ACLU came out with a statement to release the video. And ironically, Fridun's case was ruled justified that the officer used the means. It's absolutely deplorable.
I'm glad that you're bringing attention to it, because it's like the tip of an iceberg, right? And I encourage you, because, it's sad how many people lose their lives before they get a trial. And what's even more alarming, and I had a great interview 2 weeks ago with two people from San Diego who spent time in the county jail, and their account of how they're treated after they get arrested, if, they don't happen to be killed, is horrendous. And it literally gave me nightmares. And these poor people don't get any water. They're spent hours inside of a hot car screaming for help. Their phone systems apparently in the county jail have been down for months. The systems that the inmates use to call for bail and, things to use their rights, they don't have the ability to use them. There's literally feces and urine everywhere. And it's inhumane, and it's not okay. And, we covered so many topics tonight, and, I'm really excited to hear your perspective. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I know that I would love the family of Lamontis Jones to share their story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that can be coordinated, but if you go to uaptsd.org, sign up for our newsletter, sign up for alerts on our website. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr.
Well, we'll be happy to attempt to do that if we make correct contact. perspectives are welcome.
Yeah, yeah. What I'll do is there is a private group, and I will add to that. I'll do an intro, and if there's any people that wish to share their stories on anti-media, that would be amazing. That would
yeah,
be awesome.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing with us what moves you, and like I appreciate your work. You know, everybody's got their passion, and like it's important for these people to have justice, just so we can take accountability. It's really an important factor in our society to have a reliable system of trusted, trained individuals that bring order. And mm-hmm. It's sad that we don't have that, you know, especially because we're one of the quote unquote freest, most advanced nations in the land. Mm-hmm. So it's really important for us to tackle that. Did you read the full text of the TPP? You know about that?
Yes.
Tell me, it's been really transparent, speaking of transparency, and it really strips the rights of a lot of people simultaneously.
Yeah.
So yeah. I really encourage you to share with your friends too the full text of it, and it's you can read about it online. It's recently new. It's probably one of the most important things we talked about tonight. And interestingly enough, we had the most interruptions during that segment of the program. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody gets encouraged to go back and read the full article and share it with your friends and have discussions about it, because it's thought provoking is important. Plant seeds of knowledge everywhere you go. And tell me your name again, please.
Yep, Catherine Mendonca.
Yes, Catherine. Thank you so much for finally calling in. I know that we've been trying really hard to hear your voice, and the work you do is important. I really wanna have you say one more time how people can contact you, because I know there's a lot of people in San Diego who want to, what you call it, affirm the action against terror. So go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So our website is uaptsd.com. That's United Against Police Terror San Diego. And my name is Catherine Mendonca, and also tune into Black Lives Matter San Diego. And we're working with allies for a number of direct actions that are going to happen this month. So you can find us on Facebook, find us on our WordPress site, and our email to reach us is uaptsd@gmail.com.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week. I appreciate your feedback, and make sure you read the full tapeworm story. It's pretty scary. Bye. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.